Morning. This is Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. Today is Monday, January 13th, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. Vita Susan Davis, a native elder and leader of Tlingit language revitalization in Sitka, died earlier this month. 35 years a Tlingit language instructor, Davis helped many Sitkans develop a cultural identity. KCAW's Emily Foreman spoke with two of Vita's longtime students, Nancy Douglas and Heather Powell, who say that thanks to Davis and other Native elders, they have the tools to continue teaching Tlingit culture.
I don't think that there will ever be another Vita Susan Davis. But when you look at her family, her daughter, and her grandchildren, you see the kindness and the humor, and you know that she'll never be forgotten. Heather Powell. My name is Heather Powell. I'm a Chukensha belonging to the Cedar House, and I am the Director of Education, Employment, and Training for Sitka Tribe of Alaska. Vida, to me, she's my auntie. She would always sit with her hands folded across her stomach, with a mischievous smile. It looked as though at any given moment she was just going to bust into this giggle. She also is the lifelong best friend and partner to my grandfather, Herman Davis. My grandfather is a fisherman, and he just enjoyed being out on the boat with her, and the stories that he's been telling lately have just, every part of it is included. How impressed he was by her. She went hunting with him. She'd go fishing with him. At one time, they were covered by fog and couldn't find themselves through. And she just kept the boat where the sun was shining on one side of her face and the wind was on the other. And she drove them through the fog, and they made it safely home without any navigation gear. One of her first jobs was she was a Tlingit language instructor for Sheldon Jackson College. And then she spent majority of her life, over 35 years, working for Sitka Native Education Program. She was one of the ones that would be sure and let us know that we were dancing to the words of our ancestors, that it wasn't dancing for ourselves, but really dancing for our grandparents.
I am Nancy Douglas.
Nancy is from the original Gajahin dancers.
I'm the cultural programming director for the Sitka School District, and I oversee the Title VII part of the Sitka Native Education Program.
It's been so long ago now that I've been a Gajahin and been practicing with Vida and elders looking on us, but what I always remember is they expected us to do things the right way. And in 1980 or 81, when Sea Alaska had a gathering of elders and we performed, the elders in the audience from the region looked at us and they believed we could speak fluent Tlingit. We have Vida and all those elders, some of them have passed on, but some of them are still alive, that we can be thankful for because it gave us the tools to be teachers to the next generations.
The one thing that I know she was very, very proud of was all of the work that she put into transcribing the songs for the dancers. And those are still the songs that are sung today, those song sheets we still share.
And we treasure them. To us, it's like having gold. When you think about it, if the elders in Sitka weren't in the forefront of revitalizing our culture, those things really could have been lost.
It's that piece that nobody can ever take from you. It was something that would pull us together as a family. We could all, still to this day, Nancy and I could stand next to each other and sing the same song in the exact same tempo, cadence. Having learned it 20 years apart, it was still the same. It's what we do. We spend our entire life trying to figure out what we can do to make sure that our culture, our song, our dance, and our language are a part of everyday life.
That story from KCAW's Emily Foreman, reporting in Sitka. State education spending and the possibilities for an Alaska gas line are top priorities for the minority leader of the Alaska House of Representatives going into the legislative session later this month. Democrat Beth Kurtula of Juneau represents Petersburg, Kuprinoff, Gustavus, Tenneke, and Skagway, along with her hometown. In 2013, she called the first session of the 28th legislature the worst ever and thinks the upcoming session is going to be a tough one.
We're going in looking at, $2 billion in a deficit. That doesn't mean we are out of money, I mean, anything but that, but it does mean a lot of the discussion this year will be about fiscal plans and about how we're going to go about spending and not spending, maybe more importantly. And, of course, we're going to spend a lot of time arguing about the oil taxes, although there probably won't be any movement on them. That'll all wait for the referendum and after the people vote in the primary.
Kurtula has backed the effort to repeal the oil tax reform bill passed by the legislature last year. Voters will decide that issue in the August primary. Meanwhile, the state budget picture and future state funding for education looks to be one of the big issues in the upcoming session. A Republican-led House Sustainable Education Task Force came out with recommendations at the end of last month, noting that current state spending levels need to be reduced. The task force recommended that Alaskans should be made aware that current education spending is not sustainable. Kurtula wants to see more money put towards the classroom.
It's not all about money, obviously, but we've been sliding on education, especially not even keeping up with, the inflation. And that hurts the classroom. We've been putting money towards things like transportation and security. But, you know, at this point, we really need to face the fact that we need to be looking at the classroom itself. And so I think there will be a lot of focus on that.
Kurtula will be running for re-election in the fall. Because of redistricting, she won't be representing Petersburg, Kuprinoff, or Tenneke after this session. If she's reelected, her new district would include Haines and several other small southeast communities. The second session of the 28th legislature starts January 21st and runs through April 20th. And Bitcoin is not just high-tech speculation. It's also a way to pay for products and services. Introduced in 2009, the digital currency only exists on the internet and has been growing in popularity over the past year and a half. Now, a couple businesses in Juneau are starting to deal in Bitcoin and accept it for payment. Lisa Fu has this story.
Do you have any comic books about Minecraft?
Oh, that's a good question, about Minecraft.
In the Alaska Robotics Shop in downtown Juneau, shelves are lined with comic books and graphic novels, local art hangs from the walls, and kids talk about Minecraft. Another hot topic at the shop? Bitcoin. Owner Pat Race got his first Bitcoin last spring.
I sent like a MoneyGram off to some Eastern European country, and then my Bitcoin appeared in an account.
Race bought $150 worth, which at the time equaled one Bitcoin. Since then, the value of Bitcoin has fluctuated.
Back at the beginning of 2013, the price was about $18, $19 for a Bitcoin, and it peaked at about $1,242 in mid-November, and then immediately crashed down to almost $500 in December, and is back up to about $800, $850.
Race wants to incorporate Bitcoin into his business.
I would like to adopt Bitcoin here at the store just because I think that it's something that will emerge as a global currency. And I don't know if specifically it will be Bitcoin, but I think some kind of cryptocurrency is in our future.
Alaska Robotics recently advertised its first item selling for Bitcoin, a limited edition print of Miley Cyrus riding a Bitcoin with drones flying overhead. It costs 0.04 Bitcoin. That's the equivalent of roughly $30. And Race is only accepting Bitcoin. He's not the only business owner in Juneau embracing cryptocurrency. In the window of gold and silver exchange at Nugget Mall, a sign reads, Bitcoin, buy, sell. Owner Dylan Hammonds has only sold Bitcoin to one person, but he's not worried. He considers his shop the hub of the Bitcoin community.
There's a lot of talk about Bitcoin. I mean, I've been talking about Bitcoin pretty much nonstop for the last month and a half, you know, since it shot through the roof.
Hammonds hopes to capitalize on educating others about Bitcoin, specifically other Juneau businesses.
The more people get Bitcoin in their hand, the more they're going to want to spend it. So as time goes on, more people are going to be coming into their shops and asking, hey, do you guys take Bitcoin? And then the businesses are going to be like, oh, hey, wait a minute, we better figure this thing out. So then they're going to be calling people. And that's where I come in and I go and show them how to do it.
Northern Economics senior economist Jonathan King is surprised with the Bitcoin activity in Juneau businesses.
Wow, they're starting to accept Bitcoin, huh?
He doesn't know of other Alaska businesses doing it, but thinks those that are may be ahead of the curve. With that, King says, comes inherent risk.
If you end up in a volatile currency that, you know, changes value rapidly, you could end up a big winner or you could end up a big loser.
The idea of alternatives to traditional currency has been around for a while, but King says Bitcoin is something different.
You can get online, you can, you know, you could do business with somebody in India, you could do business with somebody in China, or you could do them locally if you can find somebody who's willing to take them. And I think that's what makes it different, is it's probably, you know, one of the first sort of internationally exchangeable alternative currencies.
King anticipates regulatory hurdles when it comes to taxes. Alaska Robotics owner Pat Race isn't too worried about that yet. He admits the concept of accepting Bitcoin is a bit gimmicky at this point.
But it's also like a technology that I want to support. I think that tourists that come in and say like, oh, wow, I found the shop in Alaska that took Bitcoin. Like, I think it would be a very limited number, but those people will be excited to see it.
This summer, Race plans to accept Bitcoin for everything in the store, which means soon you can go into Alaska Robotics and buy a Minecraft comic book with a simple of your smartphone. In Juneau, I'm Lisa Fu.
And that's all for Raven News for this morning. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. Stay tuned for National Public Radio. Have a good morning.